The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, March 25th through Sunday, March 31st, Holy Week in the Christian world. The commentary for March was written by Troy Mendez, Dean of Trinity Episcopal Cathedral, a historic and vibrant downtown Phoenix congregation. He's also active on the boards of trustees at Virginia Theological Seminary and the General Theological Seminary. He is passionate about the church offering to all people a sense of belonging and the grace of new life given to us in Jesus Christ. The commentary for Monday, March 25th, begins as follows. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 3. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Jesus encounters Mary at dinner. As the scent of the perfumed anointing oil fills the house, Mary conveys a powerful physical, mental, and spiritual example of Jesus' way of love for all in attendance. No one passing by the area could have ignored the pleasing aroma, the outpouring of her act of anointing. Her act of humility was one of pure love. Her outrageous expense was calculated and planned. Her choice and use of fragrance propelled a meaningful symbol of God's Spirit to all who were in the vicinity. Mary begins our Holy Week on this Monday experience with extravagant, abundant love. Jesus is on the way to the cross. His time is limited, and we are invited to contemplate how we offer ourselves to a God who loves us more than we can ask for or imagine. Perhaps our own acts of devotion to Christ might transform the world physically, mentally, and spiritually, so that others might see what wondrous love it is that we encounter in Jesus. And now I'm going to read from this full passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. And the moving forward question for this Monday, the first day of Holy Week in 2024, is what outrageous action will you offer to God? Now we turn to Tuesday, March 26th, Tuesday in Holy Week. It begins with a passage from Isaiah, chapter 49, verse 5. And now the Lord says, "Who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him? For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." Gathering the entire family of God is hard work. From the dawning of the creation story to God's persistent attempts to unify the people of Israel, God stops at nothing until all the peoples of the world are united to the very heart of God. Anyone with a large family knows that family reunions are almost impossible to plan. There are countless details with infinite variables to consider. Even though the reunion planner realizes the inordinate amount of time required to make something happen, they determine that the merits of the endeavor outweigh the cost of time and effort. Reuniting as a family is worth it. How much more must it be for God? As Holy Week reminds us to repent and return to the Lord, let us consider how God is urging us to unite with one another to build up the kingdom of God for a hurting world that needs love now more than ever before. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 1 through 7. "Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, 'You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified.' But I said, 'I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God.' And now the Lord says, 'Who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him? For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength.' He says, 'It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers: Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." And those are the words of Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 1 through 7. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday in Holy Week is, who is your family? Consider bringing them together for a time of renewal and refreshment. The commentary for Wednesday of Holy Week, March 27th, begins with a passage from Psalms in the Hebrew Bible in the Old Testament, chapter 70, verse 1b. O Lord, make haste to help me. Fourth century theologian John Cassian opened his prayers by saying, "O Lord, make haste to help me." The Episcopal Church carries this portion of Psalm 70 into evening prayer, opening our prayers with this realization that we need God to act right now, positions our souls to communicate more honestly with God. In a week in which many of Jesus' closest disciples abandon him, we ask ourselves why we, too, aren't always fully present with God in every aspect of our lives. Perhaps this unwillingness to be open to God is more pervasive than we want to admit. How do we know what to pray for, especially when we question whether a specific subject is appropriate or not appropriate to include in our prayers. A spiritual director once said, "Don't edit your prayers. Whatever you want to pray for it. Even if you are praying a prayer that you think is wrong in some way, God will redeem your prayer. Only in this way can you be brutally honest with God, and in your honesty, God can offer you redemption." And now I'm going to read from the full Psalm 70. "Be pleased, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who desire to hurt me. Let those who say, 'Aha, aha,' turn back because of their shame. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say evermore, 'God is great.' But I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay." And the moving forward suggestion for this Wednesday in Holy Week is, begin your prayers this week with these words, "O Lord, make haste to help me." The commentary for Maundy Thursday, March 28th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 7. Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." The foot-washing rituals of Maundy Thursday invite us to contemplate how Jesus is commanding us to love one another. When we struggle to comprehend this message, we might remember that the disciples, too, were unsure about why Jesus was washing their feet. But later, when they were sent out to all parts of the known world, they began to understand this powerful act of love. Life is a mixture of joys and woes. Part of the journey is spent wrestling with God. Our inner thoughts mislead us, convincing us that God is judging us when we think negative thoughts. We travel a dangerous spiritual road when we believe God judges us as we judge ourselves. It is precisely in these moments that we are invited to picture Jesus washing feet, our feet. No matter what life brings, Jesus meets us on our journey with love, and he washes our feet, setting us on a firm foundation. There is no judgment. There is no condemnation. There is only love. And now I'm going to read from the full gospel here, verses 1 through 17 and 31 to 35. "Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, are you going to wash my feet?' Jesus answered, 'You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand.' Peter said to him, 'You will never wash my feet.' Jesus answered, 'Unless I wash you, you have no share with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.' Jesus said to him, 'One who is bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you.' For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, 'Not all of you are clean.' After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also to wash one another's feet. For I have set you as an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Then verses 31 through 35, "When he had gone out, Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And the moving forward suggestion for this Maundy Thursday of Holy Week: attend a foot washing service this week and remember that Jesus loves you always. The commentary for Good Friday, March 29th, begins with a passage from Psalm 22, verse 23, "For he does not despise nor abhor the poor in their poverty. When they cry to him, he hears them." Many asylum seekers along the U.S.-Mexico border are in a state of waiting. They've traveled extensively to arrive at La Frontera with hopes of crossing over. They come from extreme poverty and violence. There's little hope. God's love is what remains. Having an outlet to tell their stories is vital for their spiritual well-being. Some people do this by sewing borrados, panels of embroidery depicting life's twists and turns that often contain religious themes. These panels are shared so that others might know the plight of asylum seekers and as witness that their main hope is in God. In a similar manner, the Good Friday story has been shared throughout the ages. In Christ's pain, he longs for the presence of the living God, but instead encounters death. Placing such confidence in God, while experiencing such horrific personal violence, brings us pause to tremble at Christ's absolute confidence, even unto death. And now I'm going to read the passage from today's Gospel, John chapter 18, verses 1 through 19. After Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas brought a detachment of soldiers, together with police from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came forward and asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they stepped back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you are looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "I did not lose a single one of those whom you gave to me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into your sheath. And am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me? So the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him. First they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest, that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter was standing outside at the gate. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the woman who guarded the gate and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it and warming themselves. Peter also was standing with them and warming himself. And the moving forward question for this Good Friday is, if you were to sew Borrados, which scenes would you choose? How many would reflect your faith and reliance on God? And now the commentary for Holy Saturday, March 30th. It begins with a passage from Job, chapter 14, verse 13. "Oh, that you would hide me in Sheol, that you would conceal me until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me." Jesus is hidden from public shame today, laid in the tomb with the stone sealed shut. It is the Sabbath, and while all of humankind rests and avoids labor, the living God actively works to reconstruct the whole world order. God is in fact remembering all of creation this very day. In the same way God remembered Sarah, Hannah, and Mary, that all might conceive and bear sons, God remembers us in seeking to give us life and bless us in a specific way this very day. Greek tradition commemorates Christ down in Sheol, loosening the bonds of death of all the departed and setting them free so they may experience a new life with him. Our hearts prepare to rejoice with the news that every person who has ever lived has been freed by Jesus on this Holy Saturday. A new dawn awaits the entire world. And now I'm going to read from Job 14, verses 1 through 14. "A mortal born of woman, few of days and full of trouble, comes up like a flower and withers, flees like a shadow and does not last. Do you fix your eyes on such a one? Do you bring me into judgment with you? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one can. Since their days are determined and the number of their months is known to you, and you have appointed the bounds that they cannot pass, look away from them and desist, that they may enjoy, like laborers, their days. For there is hope for a tree, if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its shoots will not cease. Though its root grows old in the earth, and its stump dies in the ground, yet at the scent of water it will bud and put forth branches like a young plant. But mortals die and are laid low. Humans expire, and where are they? As waters fail from a lake and a river wastes away and dries up, so mortals lie down and do not rise again until the heavens are no more. They will not awake or be roused out of their sleep. Oh, that you would hide me in Sheol, that you would conceal me until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. If mortals die, will they live again? All the days of my service I would wait until my release should come." Moving forward question for this day, have you thought about the behind-the-scenes work of Holy Saturday? How does that help prepare your heart for Easter Day? Now we conclude the week and the program with the commentary for Easter Day, March 31st. It begins with a passage from John 20. Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. The gardener Jesus calls Mary by name, and she recognizes him. Knowing a person's name establishes a level of rapport that a mere greeting cannot accomplish. When Jesus is raised, he addresses several people by name, even after his crucifixion and death. Jesus returns to do the work he has always intended to do, but now things are far different. He is everywhere and is available to greet us by name in the same way we greet him in prayer. Christ's resurrection invites us to remember the moments we have encountered blessings, intentionally personal blessings. It is almost as if Christ called us directly by name to bless us. We recall these blessings and reflect on how they give us life with the same grace and love that Jesus calls Mary by name today. The life we are given by God gets even better today. The new window of eternity is open, and absolutely everyone's included. We begin, though, by hearing Christ call us by name. Now from the Gospel of Mark, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way," the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And the moving forward statement of celebration on this Easter day, March 31st, 2024, bring out the Alleluias. Christ is risen indeed. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr at the Center for Action and Contemplation. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day, and I wish you and your family a very happy and holy Easter day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.